Thanks to $17 million in private funding, Johns Hopkins University has just launched the first center in the U.S. dedicated to the study of psychedelic substances. The center will explore how substances like LSD and psilocybin, commonly known as magic mushrooms, can treat a range of mental health problems, including addiction and depression. For more, we're joined by Dr. William Richards, a psychologist at Johns Hopkins and author of Sacred Knowledge, Psychedelics and Religious Experiences. He's also one of very few people who started doing psychedelic research in the 1960s, watched the research trickle to a halt after the government declared psychedelics a Schedule I controlled substance in 1970, and then picked up the work again at the turn of the century. Dr. Richards, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's start with that $17 million investment. How big of a deal is that going to be for your new Center for Psychedelic Research?
Yes, it's a very big deal, and we're very thankful to have that kind of support in that 20 years ago, we began from nothing. It's great to feel that respect and faith that people have in what we're doing.
And why do you think that's happening right now? And we should say that we're in a moment also when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration just approved a psychedelic called esketamine as a treatment for depression earlier this year.
That's right. And we are hoping the day will come in a few years where we will have sufficient data that they will feel good about approving psilocybin as well. And MDMA is close to approval also. So it may open up a whole new era in mental health treatment.
Well, and give us a sense of what you've seen, because you've been looking into this for decades now. What is the promise of psychedelics when it comes to treating mental health issues, addiction, depression, etc.?
The promise is immense from my perspective when the psychedelic substances are used intelligently, wisely, responsibly. There's some knowledge that has to go with it. You can't just give the drug like we give most medications. There has to be good screening and preparation and skillful guidance during the hours of drug action. It's a new concept, really, in the mental health world, because we're used to drugs like the antidepressants that you keep taking over and over and over and over. And that's helpful for some people, though they often have side effects and they often kind of suppress symptoms instead of really healing the symptoms or the getting at the cause of the distress. And the unique thing about these psychedelic substances is that they're often only administered once, maybe two or three times, and it is the memory of an experience that's healing. So you don't have to keep taking the drug again. You remember that something shifted in your view of yourself, your view of other people, your view of the world, your understanding of what it is to be a human being. And that's incredibly fascinating and powerful.
Well, tell me then how a session with a patient would work. If it could just be one experience with a psychedelic that is relieving to them in terms of whatever mental health issue they're dealing with, do they just come in, take the psychedelic, and then sit with you and talk with you, talk through issues? Or how does it work?
Well, first, we always establish a really solid, trust-filled relationship with a therapist or guide, often through several meetings for a week or two before we administer the substance. And when we give them the psilocybin, it's done in a very confidential and comfortable, usually kind of a living room setting, with very supportive music and a very safe, caring atmosphere so that people feel free to just kind of sink into their minds, embrace whatever emerges, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant initially, and trust kind of the healing processes of their own minds. And the incredible thing about this research is how we encounter this wisdom within people's minds. Like the human mind knows how to heal itself if you give it the trust-filled atmosphere and the opportunities to become deeply aware of the levels of consciousness within you. It's not always fun. It can be very painful at times, working through grief and guilt and confusion and so on. But it can be profoundly therapeutic in a very rapid space of time.
Well, one of the reasons why there hasn't been more research in this area is that psychedelics are listed as a Schedule I substance by the federal government. That means that the government considers them, quote, drugs with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. What do you say in response to that? You've been dealing with that for decades now.
Well, I would say that arose out of the cultural change in fears back in the 1960s. It's distorted. It's inaccurate. I think we've already demonstrated a substantial positive effect of these substances for some groups of people. They're incredibly safe for most people. A few caveats there. If you're genetically programmed for severe mental illness, it might not be wise to take a psychedelic. If you have an acute heart condition, any intense emotion might be unwise, etc. But for most people, if they know what they're doing, these drugs are remarkably safe. They're not toxic. They're not addictive. And they can be profoundly helpful. Having said that, they can also be very frightening and disorienting for people who do not know what they're doing and aren't prepared or don't have the right dose of a pure substance. I like to use the metaphor of downhill skiing. You know, if you're going to do it, you ought to get some training before you jump on your skis and head down the double black diamond, you know? Mm-hmm. But we don't make skiing illegal because some people crash into trees.
What would you say is the most significant result of your work so far and the work that you and your colleagues have done over the past many decades?
That's hard to answer. I can tell you what motivates me most and what I hope will be the first legal application of psilocybin therapy is in palliative care, to help people who are approaching the end of their lives live fully with less anxiety and depression, closer interpersonal relationships. And in the work we've done with terminally ill people, those who have mystical experiences often claim loss of a fear of death. Somehow the fear gets displaced by kind of a curiosity. People live the final period of their lives much more fully and in healthy interaction with their families. And I would like to see the day come when that treatment is offered by the palliative care sections of many hospitals and also for it to be covered by Medicare and insurance companies. And I think that's maybe right around the corner.
Dr. Richards, I want to ask you one more thing. There are probably some listeners who are hearing you talk about this and thinking, well, that's crazy that we would use psychedelics to treat these things. They're dangerous. They're, you know, what kind of person who's near the end of their life is going to want to take magic mushrooms or something like that? What would you say? I'm sure you've heard that. So
of
what
course.
Would you say to those people?
No. I mean, we have a major educational job to do. There's a lot of ignorance and prejudice in the population, including in very well-educated psychiatric circles. there were government pamphlets back in the 1960s that really were inaccurate. It was really propaganda. There's probably been no frontier in science that has been completely blocked for, what was it, 22 years. And now it's come alive again, and it's expanding dramatically throughout the United States and Western Europe. And it's the number of bright young professionals who are dedicated to this research frontier is absolutely amazing. And I hope to stick around to see it flourish, but I have no doubt that it will continue to expand whether I'm here or not. It's quite inspiring, actually.
That is Dr. William Richards, who is a psychologist at Johns Hopkins University, which just launched the first center in the U.S. dedicated to the study of psychedelic drugs. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy, and all good wishes.
And your thoughts are welcome at hereandnow.org.